Okay. So, guys, welcome. If you want to go, if you want to go through and just say your names and maybe when you started coming to YVV and your favourite colour.
All right, I'll go first. I'm Mon or Monica. I think we started coming here 2014. About halfway through the year. And favourite colour would have to be green, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
So high tech. Marlene, I've been coming 8 years, I think, and it's actually really flown. My favourite colour is this blue teal.
Morning, I'm Brad. It must be a similar amount of time to you. We've been coming since 2011, which has flown. And I feel like my favourite colour is going to be pretty obvious because I usually wear some shade of it most of the time. Blue is my favourite colour. Royal blue and white especially. North Melbourne won last night. Sorry, Adam.
So we're talking about worship and that means football as well. good stuff. Thanks, guys. I know it's a bit of a cheesy thing, what's your favourite colour? That's a bit of a weird question, but I've got to break the ice on that. Okay, so before we start, I just want to read you a verse. It's from Romans 12:1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Okay? And then we've got a quote from John Wimber that says, "Show me where you spend your time, money and energy, and I'll tell you what you worship." So we've got two anchors. And we've got two sources of information for why we worship, okay? The Bible, obviously, and our founder, Mr. Johnny Wimber. That tells you a lot. The where you spend your time and your money and your energy, that will be the indicator of what you worship, okay? So as we talk today, I encourage you guys to have a think as well, because we're always learning and we're always changing and we're always growing. So it's interesting to be introspective and look into that. So we'll get off into the questions, the conversational prompts. Number one, worshiping Jesus is a personal thing. We all come to Jesus in different ways, and he meets us in the way that we each need, which is crazy to think about, right? It's like a different adapter for everything, you know, and he meets with us in that way. So the question is, guys, what does connection to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in worship look like for you? Okay? Who wants to go first?
Okay, I've been told. I've been nominated to go first. I think obedience is the thing that comes to mind in connecting to God through worship, like in leading worship in this corporate sense, very much. If I feel the Spirit prompts me to do something, if that's something that makes me feel uncomfortable, a little bit nervous, or a little bit out of my comfort zone, then that's still something that He's prompting me to do. So I need to do it. Like, that's sort of where it sits. And I would say the same thing. Like, I find, as much as I love the worship that happens here on a Sunday morning and worshiping through music and song, the main place I worship is actually at work, as a teacher. I also do it at home as a husband and a father, but I feel like that's a space where, again, it's really important that I'm obedient to what the Spirit's prompting me, because what I do in my workplace is an act of worship to God. When I'm obedient to Him, when I'm serving Him, when I'm using my gifts to help others and to glorify God, then that's an act of worship. So, long way to say obedience.
That's good.
We were just singing, "Your praise will always be on my lips," and I always think, "Your praise will always be on my hips." I'm not talking about dieting. A moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. But how about that? A lifetime on the hips, a lifetime of dancing. Because you can't dance without the hips, really. So dance is my way of connecting to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When I was little, I wanted to be a ballerina like a lot of other little girls. I gave up on that dream at the age of about 12 when I realised I didn't have the makings of a professional dancer. My next ambition was to be an actor, which is how I ended up as a drama teacher. But dance was always my first passion, and it's never left me. as a young Christian, I discovered that I could really connect with God through dance, and it's that's gone through my whole life. So for me, it's a worship language, it's a prophetic means, and it's also a way to pray. If I'm burdened or anxious about something, and I might not be in a position to actually dance or pray or whatever, I might be driving my car or something like that, I actually see myself dancing, and it's not a mental thing, it's an automatic thing. I'm thinking about this thing and I just see myself dancing. So if I can't physically dance in my mind, perhaps in my spirit I am also. Sometimes I also feel I'm dancing with Jesus, which is just an amazing thing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love the fact that when we worship, we see ourselves, like we get a reflection of ourselves, you know. And I always think about this, the time where God created the world. I often think about this, how the Spirit moved on the waters. It had motion, you know, like it was moving across the waters, and it was like this fluid motion. And I think about that, and I'm like, that's worship. That's really, it's cool. Yeah.
I think for me, it's always been music. Like there's photos of me as like a three-year-old, like just singing or tapping on stuff. And I think that's always been something hugely important in my life. And for me, I find worship is different in the settings I do it or the ways I do it. So for me, worshiping leading out the front and worshiping in the congregation are completely different experiences for me. It's, I can't, you know, I can try to replicate it, but I have different connections with God, and I'm impacted in different ways. I think there's something really vulnerable and really a good connection with God when you have to, it's not about you. When you're leading worship, you have to do it for everyone else. You know, it doesn't matter if you get here an hour late or me this morning.
I slept through this morning.
It's okay, guys, I'm here now. Or it doesn't matter what you've had that week. There are people who need worship because they need healing, or they need to celebrate something, or they need just to feel God's presence again. So you have to just come and align yourself with God and do it, because people are relying on you to lead them. And then similarly for me, sometimes I know I just need to put some music on in my car and just like belt my lungs out. Like there's sometimes I get a mood and I'm like, I just need to drive, and I just need to put on that album that I love. It's a release, and it's another experience altogether. And so there's so many different ways that I connect with God, but it's always, I find, through music and through the different ways that I do it. Sometimes, you know, with family or with friends and stuff, but I find that there's really specific ways that God touches me depending on where I'm at physically as well, which I think is really cool. And not something that you kind of think about a lot, but he does. And sometimes at uni, I'll just be sewing away, and I'll just be humming this little song, and it'll just be on my heart all day. And then I get in the car and God's taking me on another journey. It's just really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I think part of that is the reason that it's like that is because we were made for it, you know? Like, you guys all know this, but we were made to worship. You know, like that quote says, everyone has something that they're worshiping. And for us, it happens to be the creator of the universe. It's really cool. Okay, so question two. Actually, before we do that, I'll tell you what it looks like for me. So I've used this story a bit, but I snowboard sometimes, and when I'm on the mountain, I get a really amazing sense of God's closeness and connectedness with God as I'm smashing down that mountain with no holds bar, no, just totally free. I really get a connection to the Holy Spirit, and I feel like that's important to mention, because it doesn't look like something that you would expect it to. You know, for me as a worship leader, I've been doing this for 15 years or something, and for me, everyone says, oh, obviously your worship to you is playing in front of people. It's like, no, it's not. For me, that's an amazing thing, and I enjoy it a lot, but for me, worship looks a lot different a lot of the time. Okay, question two. Worshipping Jesus is a transformative thing. It is giving back to God what he first gave to us. Okay, we've got to remember that. God breathed into us the ability to worship him. And so it's when we're doing it, it's a reciprocal thing. Having said that, guys, can you tell us about a time you experienced a personal change through worship and how you responded to that change in your life?
I think it's me again because everyone's looking at me. So, I've quite a recent one actually, but this requires a little bit of context. So this year I suppose it was a bit of a step of faith. I've moved schools. I taught here at MEX for 8 years and it was a wonderful experience and felt very comfortable here and it was just a really good fit, but just felt like it was time to pursue a new challenge and try something a bit different. So this year I've moved to Cairo Christian School down in Pakenham, which is another great school, but it's a bit of a drive every day, so there's lots of time to listen to podcasts and audiobooks on the way down there, and also the Bible in 1 year with like Nikki Gumbel and the guy who played Hercule Poirot reading the Bible to me, which is pretty cool. And that's
in a French accent?
No, Belgian.
Actually, Belgian. Sorry, yes.
So if we're gonna get this right, let's get it right. So it does sound French, but yes, he's Belgian. I'm a bit of a pedant sometimes, have you noticed? But that's okay. I've picked up some VCE subjects and very much feeling stretched and learning some of those things in my teaching practice that need to change and get sharpened up and honed a little and how I can improve my routine and all sorts of stuff. In the last month, I had about 80 essays and 80 exams all come in at the same time. And students want feedback straight away. Which is great, and I understand that, you know, the faster you give the feedback, the more useful it is for students. But I also want to be a faithful husband and father and have some semblance of work-life balance. So the last 4 weeks, and I'm on holidays now, which is wonderful, it's just been tunnel vision. Like, it's this mountain of marking I've got to get through. It's getting this feedback back to students. It's writing reports, and it was really getting on top of me, and it was just a rubbish 4 weeks, or most of 4 weeks if I'm honest about it. And driving to school one day, going through the Bible in 1 year, the story comes up about Peter walking on the water, and it's one of those things that you hear all the time and you can relate it to so much stuff, but it's amazing how this book that was written so long ago over a range of different time periods is able to speak into situations that we experience each and every day. And listening to this story, it's like, this is me. Like, at the moment, I just feel like I'm drowning in a sea of marking. And all I'm looking at is this big wave of English exams that have come in, and there's another wave over here of history source analyses that I have to mark. And I just feel myself sinking in this amount of work that I have to do. And feel this stirring in my heart that, Brad, your focus is on the wrong thing. I keep focusing on all the stuff that's difficult. My eyes are not fixed on Jesus. So once I'd finished leading to that Bible reading, instead of putting on the audiobook, I chucked on some worship music. And I was listening to a song called Living Hope by Phil Wickham. And I don't know how many people know that. I'll probably be doing it next time I lead worship, just putting that out there. Spoilers. And I started crying, and that's not an uncommon experience for me. But God was filling me with joy. Now, crying seems like an odd response to that, potentially. But as I'm listening to this song, Jesus is our living hope. You know, He was just filling me with His joy. And there'd been some comments around the school from other staff, like people checking in, you know, how you're doing, and they could see the stress and the burden I was carrying. And over the next few days, it was all the comments were just about how happy I looked. So I filled up with petrol at, you know, 10 to 7 in the morning on the way to work. And the guy's like, it's really nice to see someone smiling at this time of the morning. And I, you know, made a joke out of it and deflected because I'm a man. And said something like, you know, oh, yeah, I've had my coffee or, you know, whatever it is. So that maybe that's a missed opportunity. But the difference was noticeable. So, yeah, joy. And that's why I resonated with what was said this morning, because that's been a big thing for me in the last couple of weeks.
That reminds me of something. It's, you know, when we worship, it's out of overflow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially in a service role, it needs to be out of a place of overflow, because if it's not, you burn yourself out. Like, that's one thing I've been learning recently. So that's really cool. That's a good reminder.
Well, my story is going back nearly 40 years. My twin sister, I was brought up Catholic. My twin sister started to go to an AOG. She said to me, "You've got to come, Mal." And so I went along to this AOG, and I'm sitting there thinking, wow, these people are clapping and everyone's singing and wow, this is so strange. And I kind of stepped back from it and thought, this is, you know, I was a bit cynical. And anyway, during at the end of the worship time, I actually experienced the presence of God in an extremely powerful way, and it was a complete turning point in my life. And when I look back, that was the change, and I've never ever doubted that. You doubt certain things in your life, and even experiences of God's presence, sometimes you doubt, but I've never ever doubted that. I started to bawl my eyes out. It was like the God that I'd always believed in, who had a white beard and lived on a cloud somewhere, was right next to me saying, "Hi." And I was so overwhelmed with a sense of love. I turned to my, and I'm bawling my eyes out, and Justine says to me, "Mal, is that you?" You know, and oh, sorry, because there was something going on up the front as well. And I said, "I love God." Now, that's a really weird thing for me to say. And it wasn't something that I thought of. It just came out of my mouth. But I realised years later that that essentially was worship. So God was stepping up. You know, the God of the universe, the God, the creator of all mankind, was stepping into my life. He was showing me love. And I responded with love. So I realised years later that that is essentially worship. We're actually responding to the love that he's already showed us and is showing us. I had a really great sort of you're in love time from then on, that sort of first love thing. And I remember sitting on a train that following week and just loving everybody on that train. Just loved them. So God loved me, and I just automatically loved.
Yeah, I think just a quick thing before I answer the question. I really struggled this week trying to think of things to say for these questions, because I think a lot of the time in worship, it's never a huge breakthrough every week. Like, not every week you're like, wow, like, oh my goodness, my life has changed so much. It's often just little, like, chipping away at something, or it's just a nice time to worship God. And so if you hear some stories and you're like, damn, why haven't I heard something like that? It's not a bad thing. I really struggle to remember things God has done, which I think I wish I was better at. But there are things he's done that you don't even know about. And then, you know, years later, you find out and you're like, oh my goodness, God, why didn't you tell me? That was so cool. So don't be discouraged or feel like sad. We're not anything special. We're just here. You know, you've all got stories too. Anyway, I think there's a theme, and that's crying.
We're a sensitive bunch, us. Yeah.
At the end of last year, I was trying to work out what to do with my life. I was finishing high school, and I had this amazing experience. I often do this. The preacher will be preaching, and I'll just completely, like, zone out, and I'll just be in my head.
I never do that.
What'd you say?
I mean, I'm always attentive. I take notes. I try to listen back sometimes. And I just kind of zoned out, and I don't know whether I was ever really thinking about anything. I was just in a little happy place. And just at the end of the sermon, they were doing something about ministry or calling people to do something, and I just had this epiphany, like this huge epiphany. I just saw myself in my future. I saw what I was doing. It was just, like, amazing, you know. It was one of those images where you go, that's not my imagination. Like, I couldn't think of that. That is far greater than I could ever imagine. And from there, I went to this year and I started studying fashion and costume design, and I just entered this whole season in first trimester. And I think if you even, like, saw me at the start of the year, I was, like, absolutely just overflowing with joy and happiness. I was like, annoyingly happy for like 12 weeks.
You ever seen a pinball machine?
Yeah.
She was a pinball.
I remember I went to small group for the first time at the Benners, and I think it was like my first week of uni, so I was like, like cloud 58. Like we were way up there. Like I was just so full of joy and so just worshipping, like literally in everything I did in my life. I would see God in all the tiny things and all the ways that we worship out of the music and out of the kind of things that we put in our head of what worship are. Things like, I go to uni in Collingwood, so every morning I'd find a park, I'd be like, praise the Lord. Like just, I just felt this huge season of just like, look, there's God there. Oh my goodness, God, wow. I didn't even know you existed in that place. Woo! Like, just God was everywhere. And I just had this amazing experience of just sitting back and watching him just, like, pour out his love on my life in a way that I never imagined. And I still get excited about talking about it. And all through my first trimester, I just felt that. I never really felt overwhelmed. I was like, God wants me to be here. We're here. Let's party. Like, this is good. This is God. So it's not really one experience, but it's this season of awareness, really. And it was noticing God in places that you don't often look for him. And he's everywhere. It's kind of cool.
Very cool. There's that obedience thing again. Yeah. You know, like you're experiencing that joy through obedience, really.
You know? And it, like, people notice and it rubs off on people, and like you guys notice that, you know, you're looking for God too, but people who don't know that God's just like huge in your life, they're like, wow, Mon, like, why are you happy? Like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm happy. Like, why aren't you happy? You know, there's so much to be joyful about in the kingdom, and sometimes it is the coffee. I've become a very avid coffee drinker. But there's so much goodness in the kingdom that we don't even see. And I think that season of becoming aware and just seeing it in places just changed my life and changed the way I looked at things.
Awesome. Yeah, there's something to be said about the way that we do things, and it's countercultural, you know, which is crazy. There's dependence. Dependence isn't a good thing in our culture. You know, if you're dependent, it's not a good thing, you know. And so but in the kingdom, dependence, it's all about dependence. You know, you get up and you have to be reliant on God. And also the obedience thing. It's not cool to be obedient, you know, but it's imperative. So that's another cool thing.
It's also not cool to be happy all the time. And when you tell people you're great, people are like, what?
I'm like, why?
Yeah, I'm great. Like, why wouldn't I say I'm great? So if you're actually great and people are like, how are you doing? Don't say good, like, actually say great. And people really, like, people struggle with it. It's really funny.
That's cool. Alrighty, so this next one is very close to my heart. Question 3, worshipping Jesus is a vulnerable thing. Sometimes it can be hard to worship, but without vulnerability, intimacy just can't exist. Okay, I've learned that through being married for 8 years. You can't have intimacy without vulnerability. It's impossible, okay? If you're not open and if your heart's not on your sleeve, then there's no way that you're going to last in a relationship. And that's the same as God who's made us that way. So the question, guys, is, if you're comfortable, it's a vulnerable topic. Tell us about a time that you've been vulnerable in worship and what that meant for you in that moment and those around you, your families.
Yeah, I think this comes back to the obedience thing again. And vulnerability has probably looked different on a number of occasions, just depending what I'm struggling with or what I'm lacking confidence in. So there's been times... I'm a bit of a control freak.
Join the club.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. Yeah. So there's... I'm willing to be vulnerable when I have control over that, if that makes sense. So it's like, all right, I'm willing to be vulnerable in this way. This is a side of myself that, you know, I have control of, and I'm okay to be vulnerable there. But then... So at school, if I've warmed up vocally in the morning, I'm happy to sing in front of the students. But there's other times where it's like, no, I'm not going to show that part of myself because I'm not confident that it's going to go well or whatever it might be. So there's been some things where the first few times I was leading worship, and this is like quite a practical thing, but the keys that I'd chosen to lead in were quite low. And I mean, I didn't really have to push my voice that much. I was confident that if I sang at that key, my voice wouldn't crack or squeak or do any little funny things. And it was just, yep, I'm confident that will go okay. And, you know, in preparing for one Sunday, I actually felt like prompted to choose some higher keys where I'd actually have to warm up a little bit better and push myself and take a risk and see how that would go. And that's a scary place to be. So sometimes it could have just been like that. And I did, and I think it mostly went okay. So I can be, I'm a pretty harsh critic on myself. Other times it might be, that's an obedience thing again. Like I feel like God's prompting me to kneel as I'm leading. So, well, am I willing to do that? You know, it's difficult to lead when the microphone's up here and then I'm down here. So am I willing to actually take that risk and do what I feel like the Spirit's leading me to do? Sorry?
I love it when you do that.
Thanks, man.
That's awesome.
I think one of the big ones has probably been, again, if I feel like the Spirit's put something on my heart, because when you're leading, it's a bit of a corporate thing. There's a tendency for me to say, you know, I really feel like, you know, God is leading us to do this, or we, you know. And it's like, no, this is about us, but it's also about me. You know, this is God convicting me of something. So if I feel like I have not given God his worth in a situation, don't deflect by saying, you know, let's all of us push in and do this. It's like, no, God, I am sorry for the times that I have not taken this seriously. I am sorry for the times I haven't do that. And trying to also lead by example in that sense, but owning maybe those things I haven't done well and not trying to deflect them to us as a congregation. Yeah. I think more or less I answered some of that question in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's good.
What was the question again? No.
Tell it again.
When I first started to dance in worship, which was about 25 years ago in my previous church, it was certainly not something that people did. And I used to hesitate. I'd feel the Holy Spirit urging me to literally step out of the aisle and begin to dance just spontaneously and freely. It was very hard to do. I would just think, well, what are people going to say? What are people going to think? I'm just going to look like an idiot. I'm just going to make a complete fool of myself. But I really did feel, I had a very strong impression that God wanted me to dance in a corporate setting. There are a lot of people who dance and worship in their lounge rooms, and it's fantastic. But I really felt like God wanted me to bring this out, and to not hide my light under a bushel, and to be just led by his Spirit, not performing choreographed dances, which I had done before. As a drama teacher, I'm used to performing, but this is not a performance, and so you are completely vulnerable. But there are times when we're called to bring our gifts before God within the body of Christ, and I've seen healing come through this when it's been in a more public setting. And so that's really encouraged me to go on, and also people's encouragement in this room has been amazing and wonderful. However, there are times when you don't get encouragement from people, but you get encouragement from God, and you just have to listen to him. We don't look to encouragement, but it's a beautiful and a valued thing, and it's a part of being in the body of Christ. There was a particular time, I think I might have spoken about this once before, when I felt God calling me to dance spontaneously, and I wrestled with the Holy Spirit. And this is back in the early times of me dancing, and I just can't. And eventually that feeling passed, but I felt so bad. I felt like I had strangled the Holy Spirit. It was not a good feeling, and I just told myself, never do that again. However, there are times when I still hesitate, and it's an ongoing process of humility and trust and willing to be foolish for the Lord, like King David dancing with all his might before the Ark of the Covenant. Wow, I just absolutely love that story. I just also want to mention that sometimes our worship doesn't come from freedom and joy. It comes from suffering. A few years ago, we organised a two-day dance workshop here at YVV. It was called Gather the Dancers, and we invited people from all over Melbourne and Victoria. It was a great success. We had a woman named Sophie from Queensland running the workshops. At one point, she asked us to dance a word that we felt Jesus give us. I felt the word freedom. I thought, well, it's not very original, but I'll just go with that. So I threw my hands in the air and just expected that I would just dance freely across the space. It was actually here. Instead, I found myself staggering and stumbling, falling, dragging myself across the floor. I felt my face was in a grimace. I felt that the Holy Spirit had taken over my whole body. I have never experienced that before or since. I realized that I was dancing pain and grief and disappointment. This is as much part of the Christian life as freedom and joy. We're not meant to deny it. We're not meant to pretend that our lives, our walks with Jesus are not perfect. So it was a very honest dance.
So good, man. Yeah, I just can't emphasize the vulnerability thing enough, you know? Like, and you know, you're right, you remind me of worship through pain. I don't know if you guys remember, you probably remember. I was worshiping one day and I couldn't do it anymore. I was two songs in and I was like, I can't do this anymore, you know? I wasn't in this place inside, you know? It wasn't in a good place, and at that point everyone sort of said, that's fine, you know? And we're all together in it and it was okay. But that's what we're supposed to be for each other here. It's not supposed to be you guys know this, it's not supposed to be a show. It's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be coming together once a week. I likened it to a date night, you know, in a marriage. You know, like every week you're working together and you're communicating and you're working on the relationship every week. But once a week you can go away and you can enjoy it. You know, you have your wife, you have the bride, and you have the and you have God, and you come together and you celebrate. And that's what I liken church to, in a way, you know. But yeah, so thanks, Marlene. Thanks, sir. That was great.
I think for me, I often cry at things. It's just the way I'm wired. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a thing I do. You know, it's how I get out the overload of emotion. And so I think I learnt very quickly as when starting to mature in my faith that it's okay to look and be physically vulnerable in that sense. And I think that gave me a lot of freedom to then just express it and to feel it. Often in prayer meetings before worship, I'll cry. Like, I'll say that. I cry probably like once a week at least. And I find that it's such a release and a relief to just be vulnerable and physically just kind of be like, oh my goodness, there's a lot going on today. And, you know, maybe the week's been really big, but I'm here and I'm saying that was hard. And now I've got to go worship God. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy. It's always good, but it's not easy. And so I find just to be with the team or whoever's there and just be like, you know, this is going to be a tough one. And you've got to bring yourself. And that's when you've got to say, God, it's in your hands, because I can't do this by myself. I really can't. And so, yeah, I think in those moments where you know that on your own strength you can't do it, and having to say, God, there's people out there here today who need to worship, and so you've got to bring that. And I just want to align myself with you and just sit in your spirit and move with that, because there's no way I'm going to be able to do anything else fancy or fun in that way. It's just about, it's really all worship is. It's just stepping into the spirit and bringing yourself before God, and that's it. Like, there's nothing else to it. There's different ways you can do that. You can dance, you can sing, you can paint or sew or just sit, you can read a book, whatever. But I find it's just that intentional, hey God, you take it from here. And I think that's vulnerable, because you're not in control, and it's it's giving yourself over to someone else and saying, you take the reins, it's all in your hands. And if God tells you to sing this bit or do this thing, you've just got to do it. And that's really hard as well. Because always in the back of your mind, there's that little human part of you that's like, what will they think? But at the same time, you've got to go, screw them. God wants to do this. We've got to do it. Like, sometimes people won't like what you do all the time. But if you know that it's something God wants you to do and you're sitting in the Spirit, you just got to do it. And I don't say that lightly. It's really hard. And that's vulnerable. Yeah, I can't pinpoint a single moment. Oh, I was vulnerable this morning. I was supposed to be here at 8. I woke up at 8:45. I got here at like 9:10. They're all sitting at the instruments.
Yeah, we normally have an hour practice before
you
guys
get here.
Yeah,
usually like an hour. Then we pray for like half an hour. Yeah. And then like we're like, all right, we might play some music now. And I'm like, getting dressed. But in those moments, you got to go, one, I'm not going to make it on time even if I tried. Two, I can't just give up. Like, people are still coming to worship, and so I've got to come. I've just got to be like, all right, God, whew, that happened. We're here. Let's worship. And that's vulnerable.
That's good. And that brings me to being a freeing thing as well. Worship is a freeing thing. A couple of things that I feel like I really need to talk into at the moment are worshiping through battles, worshiping through fights. I don't know who here is going through a battle. I'm guessing there's a few because we're humans on the world. And I've learned a couple of things. There's two songs that have really got me through some hard times. The first verse of the first song is, when your faith in perfect love can't explain the pain that you're feeling, you'll look above for a sign, but he was there in the dirt where you stood. Right? So this is the first verse of this first song. I was in the depths of the darkest moment of my life so far, and I was listening to that song. And the fact that God gets down into the dirt with us is a freeing. It's so freeing. It's incredible. And the next song is Raise a Hallelujah. I feel like it was meant to be sung here, and the reason being is that it breaks chains and Raise a Hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. You know, I get the picture of David just sitting at a table having a feast while this war is waging around him, you know, like that peace that he has. And so those two things, I think if we are as a community to really mine the depths of what God has for us, I feel like it's going to involve vulnerability, which it already does. We're already vulnerable with each other, and I feel like it's going to include those two things as well: understanding that God is here with us in the bad times, and understanding that His power is going to go beyond us. You know, His power is going to go and break things that's holding us back from Him and from reaching our community. So, sorry, that was a long premise. So having said that, when's the time where you guys have experienced freedom in worship? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, this is probably one that I haven't got like another specific example of, but I think for me, again, it's that obedience thing. So when I'm here, if I'm having that bad week, am I willing to make that choice to actually focus on Jesus?
Locking in, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And how amazing it is that when we do that, God actually meets us in that place. And it doesn't take a great deal on our part in some ways. Like I think of the part of the prodigal son story that when the father sees the son on the horizon, he just runs to him. So it's sort of like, you know, the father does most of the work in that instance. It's the son takes those steps, and then, you know, the father meets him in that place. So are we willing to make that decision?
Yeah, and in that parable, the father's running so he can beat the villagers there. Because in that day, they were going to go grab that son, take him in front of everyone and humiliate him. That was the custom. So the father's bolting to try and get there before the people so that it saves us from humiliation. So he's always going to save us, you know. That's awesome.
I think the theme really has been freedom. So kind of in a way, everything we've been talking about is about that. But I shared once before how I do want to take dance out of the church setting and beyond. And I see it as being going to hospitals and festivals and whatever. And so recently, just 2 weeks ago, we did. I finally started the aged care ministry that I had mentioned and danced. Oh, yeah, woohoo! And ended up dancing in the lounge room at the Liddell Aged Care. And it felt kind of weird, but I did it because I'm obedience, and I really felt like this is what God wants me to do. And in the end, kind of doesn't matter how weird it feels. It's obedience. But also sort of taking it beyond. A couple of years ago, I was at a Carols by Candlelight at Cold Street Airport. And I'd gone to it because my daughter was singing in the band. And they did a bit of pre-carol, a bit of a sort of a pop music set before the carols started. So it was just in the afternoon, hot, sunny afternoon. And everyone was just sitting on the lawn, and there was a great pop song that came up. And I just wanted to dance. And I felt that God wanted me to dance. So everyone else was sitting there. I just got up and I danced through the whole song, just kind of like little, groovy pop music moves. And I really felt that God was in it, that I was honouring God. So it was not, I'm not singing, there's no worship songs going on, it's not a church setting, but it was, I just felt that God wanted me to honour him with freedom and being who I am and not being afraid. And people actually really liked it, and they smiled and they applauded, and it kind of, it was, there was a nice thing, but I really feel that, the setting is of no consequence. It's about me expressing that freedom wherever I am.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's one of the big things. We often talk about worship and think about worship as like here on a Sunday or worshipping in the kind of the traditional Christian ways, but worship is literally anything. I've just this year, I've more and more found that when I do creative things like sewing or craft or any of those sorts of things, I feel more and more like I'm worshipping God. And it's not like I'm having these huge God experiences while I'm doing it. There's just this real peace and this real sense of praise in what I'm doing. And I think that's something really cool, is that you can experience freedom through worship in anything. And God is in everything. It's not just music or dance or anything. There's freedom through God in any part of your life. It's just about the conscious choice to pop over the hill so that God can see, yeah, I'm here, God. And then he's just going to like run to you. He's so excited by it. He wants, we're called to worship, and we're called to worship in everything we do. And so when we worship in things that we haven't worshipped in before, God's like, yes, they get it. Like, he gets so excited by it. So I think that's probably one of the biggest ways I've experienced freedom. That was a question, freedom, right?
Yeah,
cool. in this past season is reaching out and going, oh, this could be worship. Oh, okay, let's do that.
Or even in your design, what I mean? Like, even in what you're doing at uni.
I found I just finished a skirt for one of my assessments, and like the skirt in itself, there's no like hidden God message in it. Like, it's a blue skirt with embroidered flowers on it, guys. So like, it's not like I'm like
blue's the sky.
It's not like I'm stitching like God into the seams and be like, they'll never know. That would be cool. I should do that. Like, it's just a shirt I sewed for an assessment. Like, I think it's beautiful, but I didn't like pray over it or anything, that some people might do. Like, maybe I'll do that one day. But I look at that and I'm like, I can feel that God's proud of it. Like, I see it and I'm like, I see God in it. And I'm like, how does that happen? Like, it's not, it's not what we expect, but he's there and it's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like the fact that on a Sunday when we're worshipping, we experience freedom in the spirit. But as we go through our day to day, and we're worshipping through our day to day with every moment, we're offering freedom to other people. Mm. We're offering freedom to people that don't know God through our lifestyles. Mm. so that's cool. The kind of the parallel there. So all right, how are we doing for time? We good? It's time to wrap up. Great. Awesome. So I'll ask you guys to do one thing. I didn't ask you to do this in the email, so I'm sorry to drop it on you. But if there was one thing that you would like to pray over our community for,
I would ask you, if you're comfortable to do so, that would be great, because you guys have authority in what you do and what you bring, and you have stuff to impart. So if you want, are you guys comfortable doing that? Yeah? Saying a prayer?
Can I tell one more story?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
I go to Zumba, and the Zumba teacher is really enthusiastic. Are you ready to start Zumba?
No.
And we do these dances where we have to go, duh, 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 hey, duh, 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 hey, and I refuse. I hope none of my students are listening at what a rebellious teen person I am. Sorry, oh, I think there's Eleanor over there. One time we have to yell out, I love Zumba! And I'm just going, no way. And then when I'm dancing Zumba, I can also be a bit competitive. So I should have said this first. And sometimes I go, oh, she's really good. Yeah, but her arm movements aren't quite right. I have done a bit of Latin ballroom. Yeah, I've got it.
The hips.
I'm being honest here. Yeah, the hips. and then I go, oh, I can dance Zumba for Jesus. And I just go, no, you know, he made me to dance for him. So, Lord Jesus, I'm just doing Zumba for you. I'm being fed income. This is what I really tell myself. And it's great. And it's freeing and it's humbling. Anyway, this woman's going, and they're all going to say, I love Zumba. And I'm going, Jesus, I'm not going to say that. I love you. I feel Jesus say, yeah, but I love Zumba. And I said, okay, I love Zumba.
That's awesome. I'm just picturing Jesus doing Zumba now. That's all I'm picturing in my head. So guys, we're going to impart some stuff to you. I'll ask you to stand if you can. And just put your hands out to receive. And these guys are going to impart some great stuff to you, okay? So let's receive.
Yes, God, I thank you so much that you communicate and you've created us for worship, Lord. Like that is an amazing thing. You've created us for relationship with you, and you've created us to worship you. And that is incredible, Lord. I just pray for each of us, Lord, that I will, and that we as a church will be obedient when your Spirit prompts us. That we would be sensitive to where your Spirit is guiding us, to what He says to us. And that, Lord, when we feel that prompt, we would respond with obedience. Lord, that when we are having a difficult day or a difficult week or find ourselves in circumstances that we are not able to bear on our own, Lord, we would make that decision to orient ourselves towards you, to focus our eyes on you, Jesus, our living hope, our Saviour. God, when we worship, it's about you, Lord. It's about connecting with you. But isn't it so much like you that you meet us in that place and you reveal more of yourself to us? You show us facets of your personality and of who you are. Lord, when we meet you in that place, I pray you'll fill us with your joy, your hope, your peace. Lord, whatever we need in that situation, you are all we need. And Lord, when we experience that, it is not just about that moment. It is not just about feeling good. It is not just being able to go home and then go back to our regular life, Lord. That is a transformational experience, Lord. You meet us in that place and you pour those things into us, Lord, so that we can then go and share that with other people. So, God, as we are transformed, Lord, may we not just leave it there. May we not just be comfortable to sit there and enjoy that experience and move on, Lord. May we then share that transformation with others. May we share your joy and your hope and your peace with those we come into contact with.
I just feel that all the saying, to be reminded of the scripture that I will not be ashamed. I don't know why, but I just pray the Lord would release us from all shame.
Lord, I just pray that you would awaken worshipping hearts. You would open eyes to the new ways that you not only move in our lives, but that we can move to see you. Pray that you would bring just a real sense of connection with God through worship, that you would just meet people in that place, however they worship. You would just be their provider, be their bread. You would just be everything they need. Be the peace and the comforter and the light. Yeah, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we finish, Lord, I just speak into love songs, poems. This verse has been running around my head, Matthew 16. Jesus is asking the disciples what the people are saying about him. And some say, you know, John the Baptist. Some say this and that. And he goes, yeah, but who do you say I am? And he looks straight at him. And Peter goes, you're the Messiah, you know. And as Peter says that, Jesus says, this is who you are. So Jesus is saying who God is. And Peter's saying, this is who you are, Peter. So I just pray that over you guys. Pray that you'll have new connections. You'll have new words to our God. You'll have new songs to you songwriters out there. So I pray that over this community, Lord. And as we get deeper in ourselves and in our private lives, we'll just experience the richness in this place. In your name, Lord Father. Amen.
Amen.